little bit and the freedom of worship. And we're going to start off in Romans chapter 6. And how many of you know worship is so much more than this 20 or 30 minutes that we do at the beginning of our service on Sunday mornings? That's just scratching the surface. That's just the beginning of worship, to be able to sing, to be able to clap your hands, to be able to play instruments. This morning, my wife's going to be teaching the children about worship, and she's going to talk to them about at least 9 ways we see in the Bible that we can worship, the type of worship when we sing and when we clap our hands and when we kneel and when we bow and when we stand, when we jump. All those are types of worship. And she's going to be teaching on worship this morning. But I want you to understand today that when we worship the Lord, almost half the time in the Bible, it's the word worship. The other half of the time in the Bible, it's the word serve. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord. And that word serve can be just as easily interchanged because it's the same word, the same Hebrew word as worship. Serve. So serve the Lord. Worship the Lord. And today I want to talk to you about understanding something. And I'll get to my punchline now. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And because of that, God says, those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that same truth that made us free is the same truth that allows us to really worship. The same truth that sets us free, applying God's word to our heart. It's not just hearing the word, but it's applying the word. The same truth that we apply that sets us free is the same truth that allows us to be able to worship in spirit and in truth. Romans chapter 6, if you're there, say, I got it. Lord, today, give us ears to hear. Lord, give us ears to hear what your spirit would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't you realize, church, and I'm reading out of the New Living, don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? Everyone say, I choose. It's our choice. It's our choice who we are going to serve. Joshua stood up in front of the people. He said, choose you this day whom you will worship. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, guess what? We choose to worship the Lord. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death. How many can say, done that, did that? Bought the shirt. Or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. Thank God. Anyone say, thank God. For once you were slaves of sin, but now you have obeyed with all your heart the new teaching God has given you. Now you are free from sin and your old master, and you have become slaves to your new master, righteousness. We are no longer slaves of sin, but now we are slaves to righteousness. Well, I thought, Pastor, you said you were going to talk about freedom today. We're just switching. No, here's what we need to understand. We can live a life out there to sin and to self and be as miserable as we want. Or we can come under the authority and the lordship of Jesus. And isn't that what salvation is all about? Is coming under the lordship, coming under the authority of our Lord Jesus, the Word, and that's really living. I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and master because it's easy to understand. Before, you let yourselves be slaves of impurity and lawlessness, but now you must choose to be slaves of righteousness so that you can walk and be holy. Amen? Man, I tell you what, the taskmaster of sin, the guilt and the shame that comes with it is so difficult. And here's Heavenly Father up there seeing us going down this pathway to destruction. And I want you to know today, His heart breaks for every person who goes down the pathway to destruction. Our Heavenly Father's heart breaks and wishes that they would turn to Him. Now we read an interesting story talking about turning. And again, that these Scripture says that these Old Testament stories are given to us as an example to be able to learn from. And in 2 Kings chapter 17, we read an interesting story about Israel again and Judah deciding, after God has done this miraculous work in their hearts and this miraculous work in their lives, and yet they continued to build altars and they continued to worship the gods of Baal and the gods of these different gods that were there. And again, the Lord sent His prophets and sent His seers to warn both Israel. And here's what the prophets and the seers said. Turn. Everyone say turn. And it's kind of like one of those old Pentecostal preachers. Turn or burn. That used to be a common phrase about preachers, that they would preach the fire gospel. And it's turn or burn. Well, God is pretty serious about turning. And the end result is, and it's not because He's going to send us, but the truth is that there is a death waiting for those who do not turn. And again, God's heart is so, Lord, He's up there saying, God, church, get busy. Come on, help me here. And so finally in this story, in 2 Kings chapter 17, God says, enough is enough. No more chances. You love Baal and these other gods. And so I withdraw my hand of blessing and my hand of protection. And again, how many of you know their hearts just broke? God's heart just broke. And the Scripture says that the king, because of this, he exiled them. He sent them, God sent the Israelites, He sent them away to live in this land. And all these other people there, it says in verse 6, and so they were settled in the colonies of Halah along the banks of this river and among the cities of the Medes. And again, verse 7, this disaster came upon the nation of Israel because they worshipped other God. Their hearts were turned, sinning against the Lord their God who had brought them out of the slavery in Egypt. God had brought them out of darkness. But they chose to go back to darkness. The God who they had seen His marvelous light, they had seen His miracles, they'd seen all these things happen. And yet now they're back in darkness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the Lord is getting so frustrated with them and frustrated with the people who have now joined them in their pagan worship that now He has sent lions. I'm going to say lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And He sent lions. And the lions are eating the people up. Now, what is a lion? It's a beast of the field. What's a beast of the field? You with me? Go back to Genesis. And the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. The Lord sent lions in to eat them up. And so they said, well, listen, send a prophet to try to help them. Find one of the priests who we captured and send them in there to teach the ways of how they're supposed to worship their God. And so the priest comes in and the priest begins to teach them. And we get down to verse 33 in this such a sad story. And though they worshiped the Lord, I think the King James says, and though they feared the Lord, they continued to follow the religious customs of the nations which came and joined them. They continued, although, King James says, and although they served the Lord. Again, we're talking today, we're understanding that worship part of our worship is service to God. Amen. Part of our worship is, it's so much more than the songs that we sing. And so we see this then followed in the New Testament. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 8. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. And I want you to see this today. Because God wants us to abide in Him. God wants us to get to the place where we're no longer a slave to sin. Enslaved to this old man and this old nature. God wants to set us free. And I mean really set us free. Can He do that? Can church, can He set us free? And really set us free? Absolutely. And Jesus said to those Jews and those who believed. Any believers in the house? Amen. That's us. If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Woo! Do you see there that there's a supernatural power that comes in and breaks the chains of bondage? It shatters the yokes that are put on people. Whether it's a religious spirit, whether it's a spirit of darkness that can be over someone. Jesus said, listen, because you abide in My word, you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He's telling the Jews this. Listen, this is good news. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is abide in the words that I speak, and you'll be made free. And notice what the response of the people who heard these words were. This is amazing. It's like, I don't think they had... They weren't. They had ears, but they weren't listening. Amen. Like we said last week, I believe God's speaking. People aren't listening. And they asked Jesus and said to Him, we are Abraham's descendant, Jesus. And we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say to us, we will be made free? How can you say to us? Now, Jesus, I think, was rather nice. I'll just be honest with you. Excuse me? Who are you paying taxes to right now? The Romans. Well, guess what? You're under bondage. Were you in bondage in Egypt? Yes. We've never been in bondage. People who are in bondage and don't know it, and there's lots of them. There are lots of people. There are people who are being deceived, and they don't know it. And Jesus says, I have truth. I have light. That if you will allow My truth and My life and My love to come into our hearts, you will be set free. And not only that, you're going to be a worshiper. Your life is going to change. Your life is going to glorify God in everything you do. And if you're, where'd my drummer go? Did he? Oh, he's there. If you're a drummer, you're going to drum to the glory of God. If you're a plumber, you're going to plumb to the glory of God. Now, I don't know how you say this word, roof or roof, but if you're, huh? If you're going to roof, you're going to roof to the glory of God. Do we understand this? Because we know the truth, and the truth has made us free. We now have a liberty. We now have an ability to be able to express this love to God. There's a chapter in Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, and I know bringing his name up, it's got some bad connotations these days, but it touched my life, this book did, Purpose Driven Life. And in one of his chapters, it was, You Make God Smile. And I believe that God is smiling all the time at His people because we're worshiping Him with the gifts and the talents that He gave us. I want to encourage you. We took the youth Wednesday night. I did not let the forecast of snow and ice bother me. I said, we're going this Wednesday night. And we took them to see this movie, McFarland. And I encourage you. It's just such a heartwarming, and to see the faith of these young boys and then to see their heart come out, I know that every time I saw the boys running out there, I thought, you know what? they're making God smile. They're making God smile by using their gifts and talents. And again, it's okay to get a little excited that God set us free. Come on, church. I want you to get excited today about the fact that I was once lost, but now I've been found. I was blind, but now I see. And put yourself, again, sometimes I think, you know, for me, I've been in this thing now. I've coming up on knowing the Lord almost on half a century that I've known the Lord. But I Lord, help that excitement of knowing you and knowing where I could have been and what you did in my life. Don't let that dimmer. Don't let that become just, oh, well. Acts chapter 3, we read the story of a young man who was born. Bible says he was born lame from his birth. And here comes Peter and his buddy to church that day. And he's out front, like he's done all his life, asking for alms. Man, he's just wanting a little something, a little somebody drop something in this bucket today. Because this is my way of existence. This is the only way I know it. For those boys picking in the fields, it was the only way they knew it to live life was to get up every morning at 4:30 with Rusty. I saw his post. I just want you to know that. I saw his post of being at the gas station with no other trucks around. And that's all they knew, is to be pickers all their lives. To get up every morning at 4:30 and pick in the fields. Then go to school. Then after school, go back and pick some more. But somebody gave them hope. Someone gave them a vision of life besides picking. I thank God for those pickers. Amen? That's hard work. And the vegetables that we get out of it. At the end of the movie, we see that every one of those boys went to college. And the three main characters in the movie are now not pickers, but they're all landowners. And they have people picking for them. You see, someone offered them hope and offered them an opportunity. And along here comes Peter. Peter says, listen, silver and gold. Man, you know preachers. Pockets are kind of empty. But you know what? Silver and gold have I none. But let me tell you what I'm going to give you. And he took him by the hand. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up. Rise up. Now, here's a question. You've been all your life lame and crippled. And now Peter says, rise up and walk. And all of a sudden, you're testing those things out, right? Because you've never used them before. And at first it was just kind of a stutter, and a small step. Then the more he began to test it out, the more he goes, this is amazing. This is amazing. Okay, I think I'll sit back down. Come on. I'll just sit back down. No big deal. Just as I've been lame all my life, and this guy says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So now I think I will just sit back down. No. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking, leaping, and praising God. See again, you guys who missed out on this overhead movement. We have tons categorized in our computer up here. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Mm-mm. He got a little excited. Church, it's okay to get a little excited once in a while. It's okay to get excited once in a while. Now, here's the problem, though. People take this jumping and dancing and all these things, and they're like, we have to have it every service, though. It's not really good church until we sing that song and we do this and this. No. See, that's religion. That's not worship. And again, some people are more predisposed to being more, to being more outward in their worship. And some people are much more inward on their worship. Doesn't mean my worship is better than yours or yours is better than mine. It just means God wired you differently. But here's the thing. We've got to be careful, church, to start pointing fingers at people, though, who may be wired a little different. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Talk about an amazing thing's getting ready to happen. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. Again, isn't it interesting how many movies now have been made about the Ark of the Covenant and trying to find the Ark of the Covenant? And the Ark of the Covenant had been taken, stolen from them, and it was in the Philistines. And how many of you know when they put the Ark there in the temple with the God of the Philistines, the God of the Philistines fell over. They're like, hey, we don't want nothing to do with this box. Take your box and you can have it because this box is trouble for us. And the box goes to the house of a man by the name of Obed-Edom. And the Bible says there in 2 Samuel that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And now we're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant and we're going to bring it back to its rightful place where it's supposed to be. And so David's a musician. He's wired differently. Hello. Musicians are just weird. We're weird. I'm one of them. I fit in that I'm not as weird as some of my friends. And it seems like the better musician you are, the weirder you are, and the later you show up. But David says, you know what? I am so excited today. Because the house, the ark, the presence of God is coming back. And I'm going to choose today to worship God freely. I'm going to choose today. And it's a choice. But he felt like he needed to do that. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, up sitting in the window is Michal, his wife, Saul's daughter. And she looked through the window and she saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And then this phrase, and she despised him for worshiping God freely. She despised him for having a little bit of a liberty to go, woo! And again, you know what? And here's what's funny. I see it all the time. If you watch any sports events at all, if you watch any sporting events at all, these people who show up to the sports events, they're bonkers. It's freezing weather outside and they've got their chest painted in paint. And something good happens in the game and they chest bump each other and they high-five each other and they're woo! And you know what? Everyone goes, wow. Fan. They must really love their Packers or Broncos or whatever team it is there. And no one thinks anything of it. But the first time somebody lets out a woo in church, man, what's wrong with them? I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Do we know? Do we really understand that person across the room, what God has done in their life? What they were set free from? What their life might have looked like? What my life might have looked like if I hadn't been set free? Oh, by the way, to end this story, because she did that, the Lord closed her womb up and she never bore any fruit in her life. Whereas the house of David? Fruitful. God blessed. Hallelujah. Let's go back and finish up in the New Testament. Got my notes all mixed up today. Let's finish up. I never even finished John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and then we'll close it out. We'll close up in John chapter 4. John chapter 8, so Jesus says, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they said, we've never been free. Most assuredly, verse 34, most assuredly I say to you that whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son. Everyone say a son. But a son. That's you, church. Sons and daughters of God, you will abide forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Free to serve, free to worship, free to share. You are free to express your love to God because the Son, light and love, has come into our hearts and has made us free because the truth, again, backing back to the beginning of that passage, what was it that made us free? The truth. And His word is truth, and He is truth. And now the truth is inside of us. And the truth has made us free. We are no longer slaves to sin. But again, as Paul said, we have now chosen to be slaves to righteousness. But we're really not slaves. We're just in that ability to be able to walk, to be able to share, to fellowship, to be able to enjoy the blessings that come. John chapter 4, and we close with this. John chapter 4, and I'm starting in verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers, everyone say true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and what? Woo, the same truth. The same truth that set us free is now the truth that is going to allow us to see Jesus in all His glory. To see Jesus in all His majesty. And now we're going to be able to be, without any hesitation, without any reservation, we're going to be able to worship the Lord. However it is you were wired to worship Him. But don't despise us. Don't get upset at us sometimes if we're able to maybe able to worship the Lord a little bit more freely than you do. Don't look at us that way. I don't ever want to offend anybody. I don't. I don't want to offend anybody with my words. I don't want to offend anybody with my music or anything. But I will say this. If for some reason the Lord gives me a challenge to be a little more exuberant in my worship, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow that. We worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking those to worship Him. For God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship. It's the only way we can truly worship is in spirit and truth. And when we get into that place where we're able to worship in spirit and truth, Scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Stand with me this morning.